The man accused of killing his wife of 5 days takes the stand, describing and demonstrating how he says she died, who he claims he saw commit the murder.
It is the first day of sports betting in North Carolina, and fans are already streaming in to place their bets.
Plus, an exclusive WRAL News poll showing a tight race for the presidential election among North Carolina voters.
Get ready for a taste of spring, where temperatures are topping out, and when we'll be back in a wetter pattern.
The countdown is on already for the 2024 presidential election. WRAL conducted an exclusive news poll just after the primary last week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. If the election were held today, President Biden and former President Donald Trump were the only presidential candidates on the ballot. Our exclusive WRAL news poll shows Trump holds a 5-point lead.
WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Lauren Leslie reports that lead is just wide enough to be statistically meaningful.
50% of likely voters said they would back Republican Donald Trump, while 45% said they would support Democrat Joe Biden. Just 5% of voters were undecided, which is low but not surprising since this is a rematch of 2020. We also asked voters if they were satisfied with the choice between Biden and Trump. A majority, 55%, said they wished they had another option. Looking at the breakdown by party, Republicans were much more satisfied with the current matchup, 58% to 34%. Democrats were much more likely to wish for another option, 67% to just 27% who say they're satisfied with their choices. Independent voters were even more dissatisfied. 3 out of 4 want another choice. Meredith College political science professor David McLennan says that gap could spell trouble for Democratic turnout in November.
When you talk about a third of your own party voters are glad they have you, and two-thirds are not, I mean, I can't remember a presidential candidate being in that situation in recent history.
There's also the issue of third-party candidates. Our poll only gave voters the choice of Trump or Biden, but the Libertarian and Green parties are expected to have nominees on the ballot, and others are seeking ballot access as well. Survey USA President Ken Alper said third-party candidates generally get between 1 and 4% of the vote in North Carolina, enough to matter in a close race.
And most of that has narrowed down to a Libertarian, and they tend to draw more from Republicans than Democrats.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Tomorrow, the WRAL News poll will have results on how North Carolinians feel about the age and mental competency of these presidential candidates and how it may affect their vote. That coverage starts tomorrow at 4.
The man charged with murdering his wife of 5 days, Christina Matos, took the stand today in his own defense. Eric Hernandez-Mendez says he's innocent and points the finger at their roommate. Right now, Kaylee Lynch-Ficarino is charged with accessory after the fact. The 23-year-old says he walked in on Ficarino stabbing Matos and then helped her clean up the crime scene. Hernandez-Mendez said he originally lied to detectives because she threatened to harm his family. In court, Hernandez-Mendez apologized to Matos' family.
That's Kaylee from, like, her shoulder, and I'm so sorry for lying in front of you. I never hurt your daughter. I would never put a hand on her. I was not the one who did it. That was Kaylee who did it. I just want you to know that I was really good friends with her, and I am speaking genuinely from the bottom of my heart that I really am truly sorry, and I'm sorry to my family, too.
If convicted, Hernandez-Mendez faces life in prison without parole.
Good evening. I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. We haven't heard from the Panthers just yet, but there are some sports reporters indicating a major trade just within the past few minutes right here. The Panthers trading Brian Burns to the Giants, and a huge deal. Look at some of these reported numbers early here. Again, not confirmed, but this is what's being reported, a 5-year deal worth about $150 million. This is something a lot of people have been talking about for a while, and it looks like it is coming together. We'll keep you up to date on this sports breaking news right now at 7:04. Back to you.
The Panthers need some big changes. All right, Mark, thank you. So the big day has finally arrived. Online sports betting, now legal here in North Carolina, went live today at noon. Maybe you're one of the people already getting in on the action. Lots of people already have. The governor apparently is already doing it. Roy Cooper posting this video, betting on the Canes to win the Stanley Cup. But we have some time before the NHL playoffs start to focus right now on March Madness instead, because that is right around the corner. WRL's Julian Grace is live at Backyard Bistro in Raleigh. Julian, no doubt folks already have some money on the ACC tournament this week as well.
Absolutely, you're right, Dan. You could just go around and talk to people who have money on the ACC tournament. But that said, we're at the Backyard Bistro, which is right across the street from PNC Arena. And look at all the fans that showed up here. They couldn't wait to be here for this event. Now, the bistro is owned by the Canes, and the team has put on a launch party for their partnership with Fanatics Sportsbook. Now, just walk around, and you can see the logo everywhere on the tables and coasters with QR codes. It is designed to attract people to sign up and place a bet. Now, we had a crew here at noon right when the sports books opened for business in North Carolina, and some could not wait to place a bet from their cell phones.
I think it's growth. Sports betting has taken over like one day at a time. Before it was so minuscule, now it's everywhere. Before it was just Vegas, now it's in not every state, but it's growing.
Now the Canes Corner is underway right now. That is Cam Ward speaking right there, the Hall of Famer for the Canes. Fans are so excited to hear him speak, and a lot of fans are just excited about this big, big day here in North Carolina. Dan?
We've seen so many big names from all sports here in North Carolina promoting the rollout of this as we've seen the promotions moving forward. You know, Julian, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about gambling safety. But before you go, I'm wondering if you learned anything when talking to folks there. Of course, a lot of them probably looking forward to it, but about some of the precautions that they're going to be taking.
Yeah, you know, you talk to some people in the crowd and they'll simply tell you, do not place a bet on money that you cannot afford to lose. That said, though, I talked to one fan who was out here. He was excited about sports betting being here in North Carolina. He said one tip that he has is bring some friends with you whenever you're betting, either if you're at home or you're at a restaurant here, to hold you accountable so you don't go over a threshold that you set.
Yeah,
good point. Advice.
Yep, making it a kind of a social activity. Julian Grace reporting live for us in Raleigh. Julian, thanks.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is expanding eligibility for IVF treatments. Soon, eligible veterans who are unmarried or in same-sex relationships will have in vitro fertilization covered by the VA health plan. The VA will also be able to provide IVF to veterans using donated sperm or eggs. The Triangle has lost a photojournalist who spent a lifelong career bringing you up close to important moments in history. Chuck Liddy spent 26 years at the News and Observer before his retirement. Much of his time was spent on the sidelines of major sporting events, but his profound work extended far beyond the arenas. According to the NNO, Liddy died on Sunday after an illness. Our condolences to his family and the entire team at the newspaper.
So you're probably not going to believe this, but we have three news stories tonight about trash, a trash scam, a trash pileup, and a big recycling fine. Let's start with that one. Wake County, they say that they had to pay a fee, actually, to Sunoco because the people in this area apparently aren't recycling properly. When improper recycling reaches a certain threshold, the county then has to foot the bill for it. That means, you know, all the people who live in the county. To help educate folks, the county held a behind-the-scenes tour today of the recycling facility in Raleigh. There's another tour scheduled for April 22nd, and you can sign up online if you'd like to check it out. People in Holt Mills are complaining about trash piling up on Jefferson Street. Take a look at this. A whole bunch of junk dumped right there on the side of the road. People say they aren't getting any help from the DOT to clean it up either. Raleigh reached out. We wanted to know, so we asked the DOT. They told us that they are sending a contractor to the area to clean it up by the end of the month. We will, of course, check up on that. And this one is a little bizarre. Tarboro police are warning folks to watch out for a texting scam, claiming that the people are claiming that you must pay a fine for failing to remove your trash. The town does not send text messages about trash collection. You should never send money to people also who text you about this sort of stuff.
These scams are now extending to trash.
They'll do anything.
A controversial photo posted by the Princess of Wales raising an interesting question. Not about her well-being, but about how we interpret what we see online.
Up next, we're going to go in-depth what an NC State professor says about doctored images and artificial intelligence and the difference between the two.
Then, as we gear up for the ACC basketball tournaments, we want to highlight the other teams from our area playing the postseason. Kat?
And don't put away your winter coats just yet, but I'll let you know when a warming wind will kick in and drive temperatures back up near 80 coming up.
Betting now live in North Carolina. Eight different sites started accepting bets this afternoon. We heard from Julian Grace with some advice from other bettors about how to do it all safely. WRAL health reporter Grace Haba shares how you can engage in all of the fun safely.
There's a lot of excitement in the air as sports betting is finally legal here in North Carolina. As you head to place your bets online, here's how to access some safety features aimed at helping you engage in responsible gaming. These are the sites that are now live in our area. All of them include features aimed at helping prevent gambling addiction by setting time or wage limits. The features are relatively easy to enable. Simply go to your account page on whichever site and look for a tab called Responsible Gaming. There you can set time limits and reminders, as well as wage limits. The North Carolina Lottery also has a voluntary self-exclusion program. By signing up for that, it'll block you from being able to place wagers on these sites for a set period of time. For more information on these safety features and for a direct link to that lottery self-exclusion program, just visit WRAL.com and look for this story under the Health tab. Grace Haba, WRAL News.
If you or a loved one may need some support, resources are available. You can call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you open any form of social media today, I mean, geez, it was on the nightly news just a few minutes ago. You probably saw the headline that the Princess of Wales is apologizing for editing this Mother's Day photograph with the royal kiddos. You can see several places on the picture where it has been doctored. You have to look kind of closely, but it's pretty obvious once you see it. It drew specific attention because people were quite worried, honestly, about Princess Kate, and no one has really seen her publicly for months following abdominal surgery and tons of speculation about her health. She said in a statement, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. This caused the AP and other respected news organizations to pull the photo over editorial concerns. The AP saying it made the decision because, quote, it did not meet its photo standards, explaining that they don't use altered or digitally manipulated images. Now, if you're like me, the very first thing you thought when you saw this was, wait a minute, what do you mean Mother's Day photo? It's not, is it Mother's Day? Did I miss Mother's Day? Should I book a brunch, buy flowers, overnight a gift to my mom, make a card, do something? But no, thank goodness. Turns out England, they're quirky. They do it on a different day. They do March 10th. Who knew? Fellas, don't worry. Calm down. You still have 2 months. No need to panic. The second thing you probably thought was, so the Princess of Wales is doing her own photo editing. They don't, like, have a guy for that. I mean, this is the family who pays a person to walk through the palace to wind grandfather clocks. They have someone whose entire job is swans, and Kate is doing her own Photoshop. Okay, you can believe that too. After all, it is certainly something that she could potentially do, and she wouldn't be the first royal to do it. I love this point made by a professor at NC State who I discussed this with earlier today.
We've come full circle. You know, pre-photography, what would the royals do? They would get and they would have an artist come and do a painting and paint portraits of the family. And that portrait is then presented to the public. This is the family with multiple forms of interpretation laced in a painting.
So the difference is, when it comes to a painting, though, and this is pretty obvious, you know that a painting is an artist's interpretation. A picture or a photo is something else, and you expect something else from it. You expect a photo to capture a specific moment in time, and doctored images can betray that expectation.
We're going to need some literacy in the public to understand this is not a photograph anymore. What you're looking at is we should not even have the same name for it. Just as photography replaced a portrait or a painting, it's a new name. And so with this new technology and this new form of image making, we have to acknowledge that it's something different, something new. And so we're not having conversations of authenticity or conversations of realness. We need to be able to clearly, from the public's point of view, identify and label it as the other. And then that will then create the new social norms and practices around it.
you know, regardless of what we call it, this new form of art is already here. It's been here. I mean, just hop on Instagram. It's almost impossible to tell if you're seeing something that has been authentically captured or if it was enhanced with a filter. You may also say to yourself, who cares about any of this? I mean, who cares if Princess Kate's Mother's Day photo is jazzed up? And you would have a point. You would. But this is about more than the accuracy detailing a Sunday outing with the favorite royal on the list. It's about manipulation. And you wouldn't believe how easy it is to manipulate a photo nowadays. Or, with the recent creation of AI, create something that never even happened from scratch. Not a filter, not an edit, something entirely new. And that professor who we talked about thinks that it could actually change the way that we engage with any image that we see through a screen.
I think hopefully this will usher people to rely less on this kind of imagery, which is the reproduction of something that's real, and go back to realism. Let's go back to face-to-face. Let's go back to visiting places to see it for yourself.
So what do you think about all this? We want to talk about some AI stuff. The team was already actually working on a bunch of these topics when this came up, so we kind of said, whoa, we should say something about it tonight. You know, some of the AI stuff can be fun. It's really interesting. Other parts of it can be, frankly, terrifying. Send me an email, dan@wral.com. What do you think about doctored images? What do you think about the AI-generated images and video as well? What should we know about this? What should we do about it? Let me know your thoughts, and we'll go in depth.
It is really fascinating. But here's one image that is 100% real. This is the sunset over North Hills in Raleigh. We haven't seen a sunset this late in a while, of course, thanks to the beginning of daylight saving time. You know, we may have lost an hour of sleep yesterday, but we did gain a little more sunlight in our day. So we got that beautiful sunset, this one as well, Kat, over Beaufort. I'm so happy that we have these back in our 7 o'clock newscasts.
Me too. You know, it's nice to have that extra hour of daylight. You can go out and about, and it's still sunny as you head home from dinner sometimes. And that's always nice. And, you know, that usually comes with the warmer weather, of course. And we've got that this week. Temperatures are going to be really jumping up, though. Live look at Beaufort. It is beautiful there from the Beaufort Inn. Outside here locally, 60 in the Triangle, still 61 degrees in Fayetteville. We are cooling back down into the 30s tonight. So as we move forward and you start to see the highs in the coming days, just keep in mind we are still going to see some cooler nights. We get down to 36 for the low tonight, and that should happen around 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. 36 in Raleigh, 35 in Durham. We could be at or below freezing in Roxboro, coming close to freezing in Rocky Mount, Roanoke Rapids, and Siler City as well. And just to the south, 37 in Fayetteville, 35 in Southern Pines at Smithfield, 34 degrees in Goldsboro, and 36 in Rayford. And this is a good reminder, you know, even though we have high temperatures near 80 for a couple of days on our 7-day, we do still have cool mornings this time of year. And our average last freeze is not until early April. The average last hard freeze is at the end of March. So don't start planting just yet. Even though we have sunflowers, the early bloomers starting to pop. Of course, the daffodils, but also our tulips that we have here at the WRAL Azalea Gardens. The ones in planters have really taken off, but the ones in the ground, the red ones, are showing. So if you do want to come check them out this week, we have some big improvements to the WRAL Azalea Gardens this spring. It should be a good week to come out and see them. High pressure is in control of our local weather right now. As this area of high pressure moves offshore, our wind direction will change. Wind direction is clockwise around an area of high pressure. So right now, the wind is out of the northwest. It'll be out of the southwest, though, by the time we get to Thursday. And check out what that does to our temperatures. We go from 71 by tomorrow afternoon, all the way from the 30s to the 70s, just in a day tomorrow, changing seasons, all the way up to 79 Thursday and 78 degrees on Friday. The normal high is 62. So we're going to be 15 to 20 degrees warmer than normal for this time of year. But March is a month of a lot of extremes here in the Triangle, where the normal highs and lows are really just the average of some of those ups and downs that we see between cold fronts. So we typically see a lot of variability in March. And of course, we will see high pollen as these temperatures continue to climb. Make sure that you're still taking your allergy medicine. Should be a big week for pollen for us. Friday will be our next chance for rain. That should come in the form of some scattered showers and storms. And another round of rain is possible for St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
All right, Kat, thank you. The ACC men's basketball tournament starts tomorrow. Coming up, we look beyond the top ticket teams in the top ticket tournament and give some love to the many other teams in our area competing for a title.
Today, the city of Rocky Mount, you see him cutting the ribbon there on a new affordable housing community downtown. The Five Points Crossing is on Rose Street and includes 50 new affordable units. It's a $9.5 million project. In the last 6 years, the city has added 185 affordable housing units.
The ACC men's basketball tournament begins tomorrow. You already know about our area's big teams vying for the title, UNC, NC State, Duke. But they aren't the only schools in our area with teams playing postseason basketball. Fayetteville State University's women's team is the 3 seed in the Division II tournament. The team is feeling good after winning the CIAA tournament last week. They'll play Indiana, Pennsylvania this Friday. Meantime, UNC Pembroke in Robeson County is the 8th seed in the women's Division II tournament. They'll play Catawba College on Friday. And it's not just the women. UNC Pembroke is the 5 seed in the men's Division II tournament. They'll face Catawba College's men's team on Saturday. And over in the Triad, Guilford College is in the hunt for a Division III championship. They are in the Final Four, taking on Hampton Sydney on Thursday. Good luck to all of them.
This is the place to be if you like basketball, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy cow. Okay, we got the ACC tournament. Then we got March Madness right around the corner.
And sports betting now. Well, yeah, the bars are going to be busy.
Here we go. Hey, thank you so much for joining us tonight, making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50. And at 11, right back here on WRAL.
Have a great night. We'll see you later.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.